Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about
me.
Five questions with Veronica. And if you didn't hear last week's episode, it was five questions with Dale. And so now I'm going to ask questions. And Veronica doesn't even know what these questions are.
I'm nervous.
And so she's nervous to be able to.
I don't like knowing something's coming, but not knowing what it is.
Yeah. So you're learning about Veronica already. If you're new to the show, thanks for being here, and we appreciate you joining to listen to this episode. We have this available on YouTube, Spotify, anywhere that podcasts can really be listened to. And if you guys are a regular listener, would you guys consider leaving a review on the show by just going to the podcast app and just tapping the stars in iTunes? Also, before we get started, one last thing is we are a full-time ministry, and we live on donations, not just for our salaries, but the actual ministry itself. We have a handful of people that we employ here at our ministry, as well as the hard cost expenses of the things that we plan to do. This is, you know, serving God and creating resources is a wonderful thing to do. It's not cheap to do, and it requires a lot of time. And so for those that are interested in making a donation to our ministry, we would greatly appreciate that. We just ask that you go before the Lord and ask what He would have you do. We are, our hope for 2020 is to produce even more resources, including a new church planting training school, some different books, and it's just a really exciting time. So if you guys are interested in doing that, if you're a regular listener to the show, maybe $5 a month, maybe $20 a month, maybe a one-time donation. But all those things really do keep us going. And all of our, just so you guys know, you know, in terms of salary and all those things are all public for people to view. Our financials are audited by a third party. We are financially and you know, we have integrity in the way that we run the organization. And so I have a board that basically sets my salary. And so it's not about me making money. It is absolutely about us moving the church back to the Bible. That's the mission of the ministry. And so if you guys are interested in doing that, you can always do that at relearnchurch.org/donate. Okay. Talking about Veronica. Okay, we'll start easy for you. How old are you, and where did you grow up?
I am 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Just turned 30, well, I guess just a few months ago. And I grew up in Southern California, in good old Rialto, California, is where I grew up, Fontana, for like my young childhood. Then junior high, we moved to Rialto, which is right next door. Mm-hmm. I lived there pretty much until we got engaged, like right before we got engaged.
And your grandparents live next door?
And my grandparents live next door.
And you live right next to a freeway?
Across the street from a freeway, yes. And in a lower income neighborhood, yeah.
And this is, yeah, because this is like Southern California, for those that like live on a farm and live in the middle of Ohio, it's like a weird thing to think about. Like Veronica lives on a Southern California freeway, which is like a
Well, when we first moved there, the freeway wasn't there.
Yeah.
When I was 12, there was no freeway. There was just a massive field. And then they put this massive freeway in there like a few years after we moved
like
there.
Like a 10-lane freeway.
Oh, yeah, like. Huge. It's definitely a main freeway down there. And that was just, you know, there's our street. There was one house across the street, a little bit of the field, and then you could see the on-ramp and off-ramp from our front porch. So
And you have some siblings?
Yes. I have an older brother and an older sister. I'm the youngest. My brother, they're both technically my half-siblings. My brother is 8 years older than me and lives in Texas. And my sister is 5 and a half, almost 6 years older than me, and she lives in LA.
Okay, so sometimes people wonder, they make an assumption that you and I were raised in a Christian home, that, you know, we kind of learned all the things that we know about family and marriage or the Bible because we were raised in these kind of homes that nurtured that as children. So were you raised in a Christian home, and how and when did you come to Christ?
Okay, so I wouldn't necessarily say I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a home that knew who Jesus was, I mean, in God. I grew up Catholic, mm-hmm. if anything, and I was put in Catholic school from kindergarten through sixth grade, with pockets here and there. While I was going to the Catholic school, my parents started on Sundays, you know, going to a Calvary Chapel for like two of those years or something like that. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until I was 18. And that's because I was dating this guy in high school, and his dad was a senior pastor of a mega church down there in California. And I went to go visit the church one Sunday, and his dad just preached a really powerful message, and the Holy Spirit woke me up, and I gave my life to Christ that Sunday. So yeah, I became a Christian in December of when I turned 18, 2008. Yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, you didn't have this modeled for you as a kid.
No, even though I was going to a Catholic school from kindergarten through sixth grade, my parents, we didn't go to church together. Like, I went to mass with my Catholic school with my class every Wednesday while during school hours.
Yeah.
But my family together, we never went to church. Even to the Catholic church together. Like I said, for a short season on Sundays, we were going to a Calvary Chapel down the road. And I think, you know, there were some seeds planted there for sure. I had an uncle that was a pastor. So my parents were never like anti-Christian.
Yeah.
I think that they might say that they would be Christians. But there was no fruit,
Yeah, you weren't at a spot where it was like your dad wasn't reading scripture and walking you guys, the family. You were modeling a biblical marriage in terms of headship and submission. And my parents were the same way. I mean, it was just kind of classic America, like, we're Christians, you know, like, if there's a God, it's Jesus.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I recently heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. The vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We've put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at relearnchurch.org/Bible. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/Bible.
This is question number three. And this is probably a bigger one. I remember last year, this is someone who actually asked this question. I remember last year hearing that both you and Dale were diagnosed with Lyme disease and a few co-infections. How is your health now, and what has God taught you in the process of healing?
Yeah, so summer of 2018?
2018. Yeah.
August of 2018. I guess it was technically July. I was bit by an insect. I never saw what it was. Likely a tick or a spider.
You felt it.
I felt the bite. Yes.
On the river.
Yeah. And as I felt the pain, I, you know, slapped my leg. I was like, ow, something just bit me, but I never saw what it was. And then within 5 days I had a bullseye rash on my leg, which I'm very grateful that I got, cause only 20% of people get the bullseye rash. Went to the doctor. First doctor I saw said, you're crazy. There's no Lyme disease on the West Coast. You don't have Lyme disease.
Veronica almost
I totally would have taken her word for it. I'm like, okay,
she like totally neglected it. And I was like, that's not a normal bite. That looks weird.
Like, and I was like, it only looks weird because I've been scratching it so much. It's totally fine. But
yeah, we're
thank
so
God
glad
for Dale's persistence. Because if it wasn't, I'd probably be much worse off.
Figuring out what the heck's going on, we would have no idea.
Yeah. Like I said, the first doctor kind of discredited whatever I had to say. And we took a photo of it and sent it to our personal general practitioner doctor, who we've also hung out with a couple of times.
She's
a friend. So we had her cell phone number. So you took a picture of it and sent it to her. And immediately she's like, yeah, that looks like Lyme disease. Like, you might have gotten bit by a tick or something. Go see this doctor because he's more knowledgeable in that area than I am. So we did. I got tested. And for those of you who might ask what that test was called, it's called the Igenix test. Very expensive, but worth it because it gave me all the answers.
Clear answers.
Came back positive with Lyme disease, Bartonella, and Babesia, which are two of the co-infections that came with it.
And you already started having all the symptoms, classic Lyme symptoms.
Probably within three weeks to a month.
Yeah, joint pain.
Yeah, I was having really bad joint pain, migraines. I don't really remember all the symptoms, but a lot of weird things. Pain in my feet. Things like that. And so tested positive. The doctor basically gave me an option. He's actually an integrative medicine doctor, so he's very natural in his approach. But he gave me the option still. He's like, you can do antibiotics or you can do herbal antibiotics. This is the natural protocol. You know, both of them generally work. Mm-hmm. Antibiotics are obviously not as good for you, but they kind of knock it out. And
especially because it was early.
It kind of knocks it out right away. That's the best thing they have going for you, is that you caught it early. And if you go the herbal route, that will likely work too. It just takes way longer. And because I was so scared and I was already having so many of the symptoms and I'm like, I can't live like this with three little kids. I chose to go on antibiotics. And so I was on antibiotics for a while. And then eventually you were just like, you can't do this anymore. You didn't want me on antibiotics anymore. And I didn't really want to do it either, but I'm stuck in that routine. I don't want to change it.
Yeah. It was probably 4 or 5 months of really heavy different things that we were trying. Mm-hmm. We were still new at learning about it too at that time.
Yeah. And then, got off regular pharmaceutical antibiotics, switched to an herbal protocol. I still have what's called herxing from that. Herxing is basically, it's called a Herxheimer effect, where you get worse before you get better when you introduce a new medication or herbal, whatever it is. So I still have moments of that and moments of flare-ups here and there. This last week was actually a little bit harder on me. But generally, I'm doing a lot better than I was, that's for sure. There were, times where I was in bed for a couple of weeks at a time. And then, with Lyme, it's sexually transmitted, which we didn't know. And so Dale has some of the
it was interesting.
Well,
we were at the doctor and then Veronica was sitting there and the doctor was asking about her symptom checklist, which are like some of the most terrible.
They go through like 80 different symptoms you could be having the whole time. They basically ask you the same questions every time you're in the office. And as you're sitting there, he's just like typing out your answers, asking the next question. So they're keeping a record of things that have changed or things that are new.
Yeah. And Veronica was getting better. And then I was actually sitting there at her appointment and I said, man, I have that symptom, and I have that symptom and I have that symptom. And he was like, you know what? You should probably get checked. And I got checked and then, I came back positive with, not as much in the Lyme category. I had a small blip on the radar for Lyme, but it wasn't Lyme.
Yeah, but even if you have the co-infections that come with Lyme, it's kind of like you're under the Lyme umbrella.
Yes. So I did came back with positive Bartonella and Babesia, and I may have had them one of those even before, we don't know, but I definitely had them after that. And that was one of those things that, I fell very ill for several months too. And that was a long road for I remember those days that, a week straight that you
it's
were
probably
in bed.
A solid year of not letting up, of consistent pain, discomfort, trials, being in bed.
Yep. It just destroyed both of our immune systems. That was a big hit for us, is getting her body back, And her elbows hurt so bad in the beginning, like she couldn't even lay her elbows on the bed for just the pain on her joints and headaches that were so bad that she couldn't get out of bed, and dizziness and some of the other things that came along with it. It was pretty terrible. You're feeling well now.
Yeah, much better. I mean, like I said, still have flare-ups and stuff. I'm not necessarily cured, but I'm functional. I can function.
80 to 90% most of the days. You just feel, what has God taught you in the process?
Just to remain faithful. This is obviously just off the top of my head. I'm sure I'd come up with a much more eloquent answer if I had more time. But just to remain faithful to reading his word and being in fellowship with him. I also learned that I have nothing without him and without my health, and to steward that well. I haven't been doing the best job lately, but I want to start getting better at that. There were literally days where I felt like I couldn't survive without being in prayer and being in his word.
Yeah. And I remember, changing your perspective on trials, that the Lord, was accomplishing something in you. You were growing, learning some of these deeper lessons like contentment, that you learned how to be obedient, not just in times of ease, but in times of difficulty. I mean, you still have to be a good mom when you feel terrible.
As best as you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, a statement that I always say is that the difficulty of obedience doesn't change the duty of obedience. And I think we got a chance to experience that one deeply when you're not feeling well. Luckily, it was kind of by God's grace that we would trade off. Like, you'd feel well and I'd feel terrible, and then I'd feel well and you'd feel terrible. And it was...
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your walk with God. For those that don't know, Real Christianity is an audio ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. I share this because Veronica and I want to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more Christians mature in their understanding of God's Word. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $10, $20, or $25 per month. I promise you that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to further the gospel. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration.
So, question number 4. Did you ever expect to be a pastor's wife? What has being in ministry taught you?
No, not necessarily ever expected to be a pastor's wife. I never thought that I would be cut out for that type of position. What has being a pastor's wife taught me? It's taught me that I need Jesus a lot. I've learned to have grace, a lot more grace for other people. Mm-hmm. What else has it taught me? I don't know. This is a hard one to answer on the spot.
I mean, I think about, just a lot of people have expectations on you, and you've had to field that. You've had to help people, you point people back to the Lord or to their husband.
Or to their husbands. Mm-hmm.
Maybe talk about that. Just in your experiences being a pastor's wife, is that you get a lot of people expecting you to be something. And, what should they be doing instead?
Well, they should be doing is seeking out the Lord on their own, praying not that they can't have a conversation with me about it. That's fine. But when you're looking to your pastor's wife, not just me, just a pastor's wife in general, to fill you up, to basically be like the main source of your spiritual growth, that's not okay, and it's not biblical. Yep. So especially if you're married, you should be going back to the Word of God and going back to your husband for all of those heavier questions, theological questions, biblical questions, things like that. But yeah, that was an adjustment in realizing that there was a lot of expectations put on me that I didn't realize were there. And then also feeling the need to, I don't like to let people down. And so feeling like I needed to meet all their expectations when in reality I just can't.
Yeah.
And so it made me focus on like, okay, well, what does the Lord call me to? Mm-hmm. And focus on that, you know, being a wife and a mother. And
it's probably one of the greatest ways that you can display those truths in your life.
Yeah. And so, so focusing in those areas is my most important.
Yeah. And I think about, you know, yeah, Titus 2, it says, yeah, let the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children, how to be, you know, keepers of the home. And that's kind of the stuff that you have no problem talking to women about. But there is this thing in church where it's like, if you're a pastor, you automatically assume that the pastor's wife is the women's pastor. And that's not a biblical idea, right? That's something that we've added. There's in the Bible, there's a pastor, and the pastor is the same word for an elder, which is someone in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's a man, and Titus chapter 1 talks about it. And so this idea that we saw this, we learned that a lot of people projected their institutional church experience with, oh, my pastor's wife is my pastor, and I expect her to do these things. And then that would come in on Veronica. And I think it's typical. Like, I mean, I don't think it's wrong. I think that's exactly what you would do if that's all you know. Mm-hmm. But we've had to teach people, it's like, no, she would say, no, I'm not your pastor. Dale's your pastor, but your husband's your first source, you know, as a human. And then the Lord is your central source, you know. You're reading a book on pastors' wives right now. What are you thinking about it?
I just started it. I'm like on chapter 5 or something like that.
What's it titled? Like how to be a pastor's wife or something?
Something very general like that. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. It's by Nancy Wilson, Doug Wilson's wife, who you've mentioned in the last podcast of one of your current favorite authors. It's by Nancy Wilson, who's been a pastor's wife for like 40 years or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Last question is, what are your favorite Christian books on womanhood, wifehood, and mothering? And I put a couple down here for you in the notes because I know that these are some, but, and maybe share about what your quiet time looks like.
So I'll start with quiet time. Mine, you mentioned it was in the last podcast you mentioned, kind of your quiet time routine. And in that you mentioned you give me an hour. So yeah, in the morning, generally when we wake up, Dale gets the kids breakfast and gets them settled, gets them emptying out the dishwasher, get dressed, all of their kind of morning duties. And so as soon as I get up, I say good morning to everybody. And then I kind of go hunker down in my closet in my room.
Literally like her legitimate closet.
And I have a desk in there that Dale built me. And so I've got all my books and Bible, quiet time stuff is in there. So I pray and read my Bible. And once I'm done with that, I will put on some worship music, generally hymns, while I'm getting dressed and ready for the day. Mm-hmm. Then I come out and you go upstairs and then I'm with the kids the rest of the day.
And when you're reading, you know, you're also on top of that reading usually a book at some point. I mean, I feel like the last couple of years.
I don't usually read my book during my quiet time, though.
Yeah.
It's usually like I want to spend time with the Lord and read my Bible and do those things in the morning. And then at the end of the day at bedtime is when I'll read my book because I feel like I'm not as focused.
Yeah. So tell me, what are some books that you've really appreciated over the years and maybe some authors, if you can think of any, that you really like?
A book that I just recently read was called Learning Contentment, also by Nancy Wilson. I thought it was a really great book. I think it's something that I've definitely struggled with off and on for my whole life. But I think it's something that most people struggle with, especially women.
Yep.
And with the social media today, you know, you go on Instagram and you instantly see a bunch of people just complaining. And so, not all of them, there's people rejoicing too. But a lot of it is that. And so I just thought it was a really great read. You know, I had some convictions in it, and I feel like I learned and grew through some of the content in that book. But I also just think it's a great book for most women to read.
It's like an annual reread book almost.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then what'd you say on womanhood, wifehood, mothering? Nancy Wilson also has a series of books. They're old. They probably came out in the 90s. And it's like a three-set book, Fruit of Her Hands, Praise Her in the Gates, and there's another one on child rearing.
Yeah.
But I had read Fruit of Her Hands, and I just was like kind of laughing through it. I thought it was really good. But I was laughing because she's just like a straight shooter and straight to the point, which I appreciate. She's not fluffy and make you feel good.
Yeah, really direct.
Yeah.
Bold.
And so I like that, especially coming from a woman author. I thought that's a good one, especially for maybe wives that struggle with submission. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
The Fruit of Her Hands.
Fruit of Her Hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Learning Contentment is also by her. Another book that I read just for enjoyment, which I generally, anytime I read a book, it's almost always on mothering, wifehood, parenting, whatever it is. I don't usually read a lot of books just for enjoyment. But someone had recommended this book called Defying Jihad. And I think I mentioned it in a podcast not too long ago. What's her name? Who wrote the book? Anyway, it's called Defying Jihad. The cover's black and the title's in bright orange. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman who was formerly Muslim who became a Christian, and it's her story and her testimony. And it was just a
really incredible story.
Powerful story that, motivated me to like want to pray more for the persecuted church and just exercise my freedom to practice my faith and things like that. What's a couple other good books?
I think about,
if you're an early motherhood, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, Don't Make Me Count to Three by Ginger Hubbard. Those are good for like toddlers. I mean, Shepherding a Child's Heart's good for any age, but specifically,
Don't
Make Me Count to Three is from Ginger Hubbard, and that's for like toddlers. New Zealand, Nancy Campbell,
yeah.
She's got a good devotional called 100 Days of Blessing.
And then what's the other one that you like that you finished? Mission of
Motherhood. Oh, I like anything by Sally Clarkson too. Mission of Motherhood and Ministry of Motherhood.
Yeah.
Mission of Motherhood is a really good one too. I like her, Sally Clarkson specifically, and Nancy Campbell, because they're more tender.
Yeah.
They're tender, and I'm not a generally pretty tender person. I'm kind of rough around the edges, and I can, you know, say things without thinking sometimes, and I need to be aware of myself when I'm speaking, especially if I'm getting frustrated or flustered. I need to be like ultra in control of my tone. And so I like listening to them because they're encouraging me. They kind of give me a little bit of an example by using scripture of how to say things more gently.
We're probably backwards to what everybody expects at home. And so out in the public, I'm bold and I'm intense. At least that's how people perceive me, I think. And I hope that I can also be perceived as compassionate. That's what I'm working on. But Veronica, you know, is, you know, kind of the counterbalance to me, and, you know, quiet and, you know, meek and,
In the public eye.
But at home, we're actually a little bit flip-flopped. I'm generally the more softer
parent.
Mm-hmm. And she's more of the authoritarian. I mean, I'm definitely still like I'm still the leader. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The heavy side of the law. But, you know, Veronica's more of the, I don't know.
I'm just kind of like a get it done.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I said to do. Let's get it done. And like, I'm focused. And when things throw me off, it's a little bit hard for me to come back from that, which when you have three little kids, it's a growing point for me.
Yeah.
An area that I'm always growing in. Dale's definitely the more gentle one when it comes to the kids.
Which is, it's just so fascinating. It's even fascinating to me. But it's the Lord's balance that he just made us this way, and we have this unique thing publicly and personally. But good. Those are some good questions and good answers. And hopefully you guys got a chance to better understand Veronica. and yeah, just get a chance to know who she is a little bit more. Next week, we'll be back into our topical, typical podcast that we tackle some of the issues that the church seems to be avoiding, or that there's not much great content about biblical issues that need to be discussed in the Church of Jesus Christ. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org. If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.